Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today, our guest Patrick is joining us. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Well, I know we chat a little bit ahead of time, and we have some common friends, and there's some cool stuff that you do that I want to get into as well. But you know, where did all of this start for you?
That's a great question. So I have Lyme, and in 2009 I was bit by a tick, or at least that's when I realized I had Lyme. I was swimming and I had my shirt off, and a friend goes, "You know, what's that spot on you?" And I said, "I don't know. You know, it was like this big spot, big red rashy looking thing." I said, "I don't know. I've had it for a while. It kind of comes and goes, you know." And it really, I did have it for a while, probably a couple months. I said, "It just comes and goes. I don't know what this is." But a few days later, I was eating a sandwich and I literally froze eating the sandwich. I mean, I literally had like the sandwich in my mouth and like I couldn't chew, you know. And my wife's like, "Eat your food." I remember, I guess, because I was kind of frozen, you know, and she's like, "Eat your food, eat your food." And I'm like, she can't, she doesn't understand. I'm like, I'm in a world of trouble right now. So I remember going, "Eat your food, choose your food," you know, like that. And because she was across from me. And I'm like, "I'm frozen," like kind of like the oil man, the like tin man or whatever. Like, you know, I was like that. So the next day, I'm like, "Something's wrong with my blood. I got to get a blood test, you know." And I went to like the clinic and I took my shirt off and she's like, "Oh, honey, you got Lyme's. That's Lyme's. You have Lyme's disease. That's Lyme's." And I'm like, "Disease? I got a disease." She goes, "Yeah, but it's not so bad. Take 30 days antibiotics and you'll be cured." I mean, those were exact words. Take this for 30 days and you'll be cured. So I took it for 30 days. I was much better. About 6 months later, it came back the same exact way. I just like totally froze up again. And at that time, I knew a lot about Lyme. You know, I kind of investigated Lyme. I had, you know, Lyme people or friends on Facebook. You know, I had a little Lyme network surrounding me, so to speak. And at that time, you know, I was scared to death because I couldn't go back to that doctor because 30 days of this and you're cured. So she was wrong, basically. So I'm like, "Well, I don't want to go back to somebody who's wrong." And I kind of knew at that point, doctors really can't treat people. In 2009, you couldn't treat people with chronic Lyme because there was no such thing as chronic Lyme. So I knew I had chronic Lyme and I knew I couldn't get treatment. So I just literally, you know, went online to India, bought antibiotics from India, and I took antibiotics for 2 years, probably two or three antibiotics a day. I would call it like my Lyme medication. And two or three times, it was 100 milligrams of, I guess, amoxicillin at that point, because doxy just made me throw up like all the time. So I've switched to amoxicillin on my own somehow. Like, I heard the moxie's not bad, so I'm like, "Okay, amoxie." So I was like self-treating, you know, long story short, but I wasn't doing it, you know, intensely. Just every time I had a symptom, I would take the antibiotics. And then that's my bad story. The good story is that I was watching, and you'll probably know about this, so I was watching a documentary on Gerson therapy, and the movie was Dying to Have Known. And I was very interested in the science behind it and also the politics behind it. I was more interested in the politics behind it. And I was watching other movies and other documentaries about like the Gerson therapy method and how things were just going for those doctors who did that, and how the government and their society, it was just not going good for them. So I was just very interested in that. So the line that I recall was Charlotte Gerson is 83 years old and she does not wear prescription eyewear. And I was 40 at the time. And I kind of sat up from my bed. It was like 2 a.m. I'm like, damn, she doesn't wear eyewear. Unbelievable. Because my eyes were just starting to go because I just turned 40. So I'm like, well, I should start juicing because if I start juicing, I'll save my eyes. You know, like I'll be okay. So I started juicing and I made like literally a smoothie. And the next morning I went to walk the dogs. I was allergic to dogs at the time. And then that'll come in here in a sec. So I'm starting to walk the dogs. I look in the mirror and I looked like $1 million. And I'm like, oh my God, I look like $1 million. So I ran into the bathroom and I'm like, I'm going to be rich. I have found the fountain of youth. You know, I can wait. And I'm looking, and I'm like, no, I'm still old, but why do I look so good? So I look like I basically lost 10 pounds overnight somehow. And that 10 pounds was really inflammation. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm not fat. I'm just puffy. I thought I was fat. I turned out I was puffed. So I knew that I was on the right path. So I stayed with juicing for a month. I added herbs to the juice. And by juicing, I mean really smoothies for the most part. Really didn't like the cleanup aspect of juicing. That was just way too much work. So I kind of stuck to the smoothies. Added lots of herbs to that that got more technical over time. Because I kept getting better and realizing what Lyme is and how it works. And then choosing herbs specifically designed to like attack Lyme, for example. So I got bit 2 years later. I got healed in like 1 week. I didn't have any symptoms really ever again that were decent or noticeable once I started juicing. Once I started juicing with herbs, I was done. I was fine. I mean, I didn't have asthma anymore from the dogs. I wasn't allergic to the dogs anymore. My pain was gone and I had no Lyme symptoms. I mean, I don't even know where my inhalers are now. You know, I mean, it was just like a miraculous turn all in, you know, just by trying to save my eyeballs, like literally.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's incredible. So you did. But you did take the 2 years of antibiotic as well, right? The amoxicillin, and that was the main one that you did, you know, throughout kind of when you started to become symptomatic, and then you started juicing. Did you do kind of the whole protocol that they're doing with, you know, coffee enemas 4 times a day?
I didn't want to do a coffee enema once. You know, like,
none of us do.
Right. And since it was working good enough, I was like, thank God I don't have to do that. You know what I mean? I probably would have, but I was good.
When you're desperate enough, you know, then.
Wasn't that bad.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about kind of what did your juicing look like at the end? I mean, what was the recipe that you were doing?
So I figured out for me, The smoothies always kind of look the same, for the most part. They haven't changed that much. Mostly fruits, a little bit of vegetables. And in the beginning, because I had candida and I didn't know I had candida, I was doing a lot of like vinegars and uncultured things and like kefir things. And my body was just choosing to go that route, you know, to kind of like clean out my gut. So that over time changed. And my concept with, you know, my healing was that I need to kill Lyme. I need to remove the damage that it did. I need to heal the area that it infected. I need to protect the area that it infected, you know, because it's going to come back. The minute you kill something, it usually triggers like bastards have brothers. That's like the number one rule in the West. So it's like that concept. I was like, if I'm going to kill something, then that means I'm just going to alert others. There's a problem in this general area. So there's going to be an attack. So I need to have, you know, things in hand, meaning herbs that are going to protect me while I'm healing, killing, removing. And then we also, from here, we have to build strong. So I had about 5 different herbs for the killing, five different herbs for the removing, five different herbs for the healing, five different herbs for the removing, and, you know, the building strong. I would throw those in my herbal, you know, my little herbal concoction. And so we're looking at like 20-ish to 30 herbs here that I'm taking with my juicing. And then it really just got kind of good, you know, like, and then I took off because I was, you know, using a definiteness of purpose versus just like, let me just juice to juice. Now I had a concept: kill, remove, heal, protect, and build strong all at the same time. What I was seeing that time were people doing one thing at a time, you know, like this month we're detox, this month we're this month. I was just like, that's just too slow for a fight. You know, like, I just was like, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, you know, it needs to move a lot. It moves faster than that in the real world. So I need to kill, heal, move. You know, I need to pretend on all these things, all of the 12 things that you're going to do, I need to do them in the same hour. And that was my concept. And it worked, you know, tremendously for me. And then people who had Lyme in Maryland, up from Maryland, and Maryland is, I think, number two country, I think, for Lyme. It used to be, that's for sure. So I was giving a lot of Lymies this herbal concoction that I was making, and they were getting really well, and they were doing really well. And there was basically two types. There was people that were following doctors and doing IVs, you know, at 2,500 milligrams a day and or a night, or 5 hours of IVs. And then people who were just kind of on their own. And I just really went my own way, because at that time, I just didn't see that kind of milligram with an antibiotic in an IV is good long-term. Plus I had the luck of the draw of just getting well, you know, on my, in a weird way on my own, you know, that was just luck. So that's how it all kind of evolved. It was very, I just researched what it is, what it wants, what it needs, what's it after. And then I would use herbs to like trick it. So I found out that, for example, Lyme likes manganese. So I'm like, okay, I shouldn't feed it manganese then, since it wants manganese, I shouldn't feed it manganese. And then I looked at my diet and I realized my diet could not be stronger in manganese. Like the herbs that I'm taking, they're like full of manganese somehow. So I'm like, well, I guess feeding it manganese is good. It's like give the baby the bottle. So it's not eating off of me anymore. It's eating off the manganese. It's kind of leaving me alone. But then the more I looked at it, I was doing pumpkin seeds pretty good. Pumpkin seeds in a powder form, and pumpkin seeds are a parasite killer, and they're like 74% manganese. So basically, I was using it as rat poison and just didn't know it until I kind of went a little farther upstream and realized, like, what am I doing that's working and why? And pumpkin seed powder is a parasite killer, and it's full of manganese. So it's like eating the manganese and killing itself at the same time. So I'm like, well, you know, more pumpkin seed powder, here we come. So I was a rare little flower in the fact that I was able to like quiet my mind. And I would literally look at 2,500 herbs on like the screen and just say, tell me which ones I'm supposed to take. Just tell me what I'm supposed to take. And then, you know, one would pop up and I would just write it down. And then another, and like one would pop up and I would just write it down.
So it's kind of an intuitive process then? It's not really that, you know, a doctor said this or you read that. It was more that you connected with this and felt that, yeah, this one feels right. And that's how you would then create these groups of five of herbs then.
Yeah. I had the concept by, you know, reading and looking and seeing how everybody's doing it wrong. And then I would like come up with the concept. And then I knew I was right on my concept, but I don't know herbs like that. You know, there's too many herbs. So help me pick these herbs. And then once I would pick one herb, I would research that herb, for example, and then I would go get five herbs like that. You know, so it's like, okay, if black walnut hull is good, then what is like black walnut? What is black walnut hull? Why is it good? And then what are the things on the planet that are just like that? And if there was five other things just like that, I was taking all five, because why not?
And did you see see critters coming out?
No, I did not. Which is interesting, because a lot of people do.
If you would have done coffee enemas.
Yeah. And that's when I was avoiding like a plague.
Yeah. Well, good job to do that. So
it's funny. I still have, like, behind this wall is a closet. In that closet is a coffee enema, but it's still not, you know, it's still up.
It still hasn't come out of the closet. Is that what you're saying?
Well, those people who don't do coffee enemas, I tell them that they have to do colonics. Do you do colonics?
No. Well, no. That's kind of the same thing.
Yes and no. I think that, I don't know, kind of having a machine there that's doing the work versus me doing it, like, it just makes it seem a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel as invasive, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. They have a little different function. I mean, they're both beneficial, and it's not like one will substitute the other. So they're good. But I mean, the thing though, I'm just joking with you. But I mean, because you're obviously, whatever you did worked, and at the end of the day, that's what matters. Yeah, it's what matters. And I'm curious. So yes, you did these herbs, and they were combined into the juicing, right? When you did the juicing. Yeah. And these herbs were in Tulipik, and obviously, you know, each person is an individual. Yeah, you know, each person probably will resonate with their specific blend of five then for each category. So it's hard to say then that, you know, because you resonated with those, you know, doesn't mean that everyone should resonate.
The whole world's gonna resonate with those.
Yeah.
That's
for
sure.
So do you do this smoothie or juicing like once a day and you put all of those things into it, or do you do it morning and night? Or
I was doing it once a day for a long time, and then, you know, now, because we're talking about 2012-ish, I was kind of good, better. So now I don't do it like religiously like I used to. If I don't do it though, I'll start to like have trouble finding my words. You know, I'll kind of, you know, I'm just not as healthy as I should be. Like my brain fog kind of comes back. So I always pretty much put the herbal complex in my coffee grounds, and I put cinnamon on top of that, because not every day am I going to do a smoothie, but every day I'm going to have coffee. So I put the herbs in the coffee grounds, a little cinnamon on top. I get the herbs in a sense that way, similar to like a tea, you know, if you will. But it's a herbal coffee tea, in a word. Because some of these herbs are kind of teas. I mean, they're in teas. So I just use that complex, or that thought, that concept of like, well, you know, if it's in tea, then this is coffee. What's the, you know, and I put it in a bag. There really is no difference here. So. And I could definitely tell that I get it. Now, the herbs are dead. They're in a dead form. Everything's in a powder form. So herbs in powder form are dead. Kind of what I found, and this is hard to document, but what I did find, this is over dealing with people for years now, that the herbs need an activator. So we need a power greater than ourselves to heal us. The herbs are in a dead form. They're not connected to the vine. If you take dead herbs and you put them in a blender, and that blender has a living apple, a living banana, a peach, it has living cell structure, somehow that living organism will activate those herbs, and you just get so much more, you know, potential out of the herbs versus just putting it in your coffee, which is dead, adding water to it, which is neutral, and you're getting it like tea. So by far the best way to take, you know, herbs is in a smoothie. And that's why I always did it that way, because the living, breathing organisms somehow activate those herbs. And I found that to be true. Now, it's hard to document that, you know, like, or prove that theory, but it's 100% because I've given these herbs to people over the years, and now I sell these herbs. And people would call me and say, they didn't work. And I say, how are you taking them? In like your applesauce or your yogurt or something? They go, yeah, I take it in my applesauce. I'm like, you didn't activate it. They're dead. You didn't activate it. Do it in a smoothie. Do it in a smoothie 1 week and call me back. And then they would call me back and go, not only is my toe fungus fixed, not only are my migraines fixed, but my problem is fixed too. Like,
interesting. I've never heard that. Have you heard that?
No. I mean, it makes absolute sense. You know,
it makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when you do, like when we do stem cell therapy, you know, when we, you inject, you know, we do IV stem cells, you know, into people. And so what happens then with the mitochondria and those stem cells, they activate the stem cells in the old stem cells that the person has.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they become youthful. So it seems like it would be just kind of like a similar principle where you just bring, you know, the energy, the vibration of the living thing, and then you know, Lazarus come out and then the dead herb is alive.
That's it. That is it. It's an activator. And it's like I said, nobody's proving it because there's nobody studying it, but I have found that to be true because these herbs always work, and when they don't work, it's because somebody's not activating them. That part is 100%. And I always go to that question, like, how are you taking it? I just shoot them down with orange juice. Well, orange juice from the refrigerator's dead. There's nothing alive in that. So, yeah, you got to put that orange juice in a blender with a banana. One living organism. And then call me back. And then they're always like, Jesus, Mary. You know, it's like always a whole new story. Mm-hmm. You know, they have been active. And that was and I kind of got that concept from the biblical, from AA and the Bible. Those were the two things. Like, we need a power greater than ourselves to restore us, restore us to sanity. And that's a biblical concept. So kind of looking at that biblical thing, that's where I came up with, like, man, these things need an activator because they're dead. They're not connected to the vine. And when you're connected to the vine, you have life. So they're like parables and plays on words, but it's true. In a weird way, like when we connect, so we kind of like reconnect the vine, so to speak. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's similar principle. Yeah, and it's the same with you know, people. When you're around people that are alive, yeah, obviously we feel activated versus people that are not so alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know some of those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I use that term, the exact term, when I'm, you know, like working with people, like life coaching them. I'll say, if you want life, you want to feel alive, then you have to put life in you. That's it. You want to feel alive, then you need to put life in you. Because sometimes people say, well, I'm like, how are you doing your smoothies? And they're like, well, I take frozen fruit. I'm like, don't do frozen fruit. That's dead. You know, like, don't do that. Take a living, you want life, you put life in you, not frozen stuff. If I freeze you, how alive are you? You know, you're dead, you know, that kind of. So it's a perfect concept. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you did these smoothies, and how long did you say that it took before you were symptom free?
Like 3 days.
3 days.
And
how much, I mean, so with Gerson, I mean, you do, I can't remember how many quarts you do a day. It's at least 2 quarts a day. So how
much? And I was doing it like a crack addict. So I was doing like a blender, you know, like whatever a blender is, it's a lot, it's a ton of, you know, ounces. So I was doing probably 30 ounces a day. Maybe twice a day. I was at least doing 30 ounces a day, just to 50 ounces a day for like that first week over the day. And then that just got down to probably like 16 ounces a day. And and this is where I got really good. I don't think I brought that up. I journaled my diet for 30 days. That was the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. I journaled my diet for 30 days. So everything I ate, I wrote it down. Every symptom I got from that, I wrote it down, good or bad, I wrote it down. So 15 days later, I would have a symptom in my hand, like that electric, you know, like there's something going on with my fingertips. I feel like I'm being, you know, like electrocuted or something. Something's wrong with my fingers. So I would kind of go back in the book and I would say, oh, you know, popcorn gave me that. Well, damn, I went to the movie theater last night and I had popcorn. So yeah, so I can't eat popcorn. So what I found for me was I couldn't eat long chain complex carbohydrates. Like that was the data that I was extracting. You can't eat long chain complex carbohydrates. That food for some odd reason is not doing good for you. So I have to avoid, you know, donuts and stuff that I want, you know, basically, which is like
all everything. The good stuff.
You're telling me donuts not part of the diet?
It is now, thank God. Right. Today, praise the Lord. So now I can kind of eat whatever I want.
Nice. The journaling is so important. I'm glad you brought that up. It's amazing what you can find out about yourself by keeping track of things. And it's not a forever thing. It's a, you know, even if you eat a lot of the same things, you could do it for a week, but a month was great to do that.
Yeah. I think that pretty much got me out of the woods because you're telling on yourself. And that's really what this is about. Like I was telling on myself and only I can kind of fix myself at this point because I wasn't going to anybody else. So by journaling it, because I had no memory, I mean, nothing but brain fog back then. So it was like, I couldn't, and nobody in their right mind could connect popcorn at the movies to 17 days ago, just at a friend's house eating popcorn, you know, like you're not going to make that correlation.
Yeah. And it becomes so eye-opening, you know, when you look at, because usually when I ask people, you know, so how's your diet? And say, well, I eat pretty well. And then when they would journal, and then they can then see exactly the frequency of, oh, every day I have something sweet. Every day I have a little ice cream or have a little soda pop. Or have, so they can just kind of see all these things that sneak in, you know, frequently. Yeah. And then they can correlate that, like you're saying. I mean, you don't need to correlate maybe with, you know, I ate this and right after I felt like this. You know, that they may happen with some people. But just looking at it overall, you know, whether your diet is inflammatory, disease producing, or if it's anti-inflammatory and regenerative.
Yeah. And it's very telling, long story short. So I think everybody should do it healthy or not, because I've never met anybody who said they don't eat good. Everybody says they eat good. You know what I mean? Like everybody, I eat good. And I always tell people like, well, eating good, or I eat organic, I eat this. I'm like, well, eating clean or eating good and eating to heal. Two different things. I mean, they're two different things. Eating good and eating to heal, they're not the same. And the only way you can eat to heal is if you can kind of like journal your diet and then you can separate, because everybody's eating good. So it's like, here's your good eating and this is the healing aspect. And some of these foods, organic or not, are not helping you. You know, they're not aiding, you know, they're hindering, you know, like, oh, but they're clean, but they're not healing you. So
Heal, they're not good for your body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only way you're going to know what's good for you, because the doctor brought that up, is like, you got to write it down. Like what works across the board isn't going to work for you specifically. The only way you're going to know that is if you journal it and then take that to a doctor, you know, to like say, this is where I am. This is what's happening. You know, tell, you know, what's popping out, you know, for you. What's right or wrong in my diet.
Yeah, and there's a technique, it's called the Coco Pulse Test, you know, where you actually check your pulse after eating and seeing if it elevates, you know, quite a bit more, and then you can then see whether your body has a stress response or not, you know.
Yeah, so, it makes nothing but sense. Yeah. Like muscle tip, it makes nothing but sense. That's a real fast way out of this, to get out of the woods, real fast, because you can go for years not figuring that out.
So I'm curious, one of the things that you do also, you do NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and obviously people dealing with, you know, Lyme disease and any kind of disease, you know, we talked a little bit about cancer prior to the podcast, there is a trauma that is involved in that. And frequently, if you carry a trauma, then you are more likely to be impacted by a tick bite, you know, because you're emotionally holding that energy and So talk to a little bit about trauma and how important that is to work on the effect of neuro-linguistic programming, so people can know out there that it's an option.
It's really it's an amazing story. And I'll go through it fast, but I know you don't know the story. So how this actually came to be was that I'm selling herbs. I'm doing this for 10 years all over the world. People are buying these herbs. Fantastic. And I would get emails all the time that people would be telling me their story. And in these emails, there was always like an algorithm of external, like I've tried everything, I've done everything, nothing works. I've been to every doctor, I've been to everything, I've tried everything, nothing works. It's like the speech pattern over and over and over again. And it was always like external stuff, like my power source is in their hands. It always had that victimized, they were victims, long for sure. And they were putting their power and they're giving it away and everybody, but nobody could fix them. And they were going to everything, they've done everything. And it was always inside. And herbs did not work on those people. So I would say, appreciate your email. I'm going to send you the herbs for free. If they work, buy them down the room, you know. But I didn't want any hard feelings from these people because I knew the herbs didn't work on them. I'd done this enough and I know herbs don't work on this type. And here's a type. I don't know what's wrong with this type. I don't understand this type. At that time, I thought they didn't love themselves enough to be healed. That was where I was. I'm like, these people just don't love them. Here's the herbs for free. You know, get away from me, basically. Because I didn't want to charge them for the herbs and then have bad press or something. I just give them away for free. And this was always just about helping people anyhow. So it was like, no problem. So later on, since I was always dealing with people from other countries or other, you know, nobody was local. Nobody was like this. I actually met with a woman that I was kind of like training a little bit for running like a 5K. And I'm talking to her and as I'm talking to her, I said, you have shame on you. Why do you have shame on you? What is the shame? Why do you have shame on you? So she talked to me a little bit more about that. So I went home and I tried to remove shame with herbs. Can't do that. There's no such thing. And I've like looked up drugs. I'm like, well, we would know the drug that removes shame, guilt, remorse. We would know the name of that drug. That would be on TV. We would all know that drug. So I know there's no drug doing it. And you can't clearly remove shame, guilt, remorse, you know, with herbs. It doesn't work that way. So this is spirit. So I realized, okay, this is, and I'm a biblical person by nature. So it's like, okay, so here's the mind, the body, and the spirit. So this is spirit. This is a spirit problem. This problem resides in the spirit world. Room, guilt, shame. That's a spirit thing. Because, you know, Jesus said a couple of times, that kind only comes out in prayer. So that's a spirit thing, for example. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm starting to put this together. So kind of moving forward here, I realized that was trauma. It wasn't shame or guilt. It was like going up the stream. Who's dumping babies in the stream? That thing. That's trauma. So it took about 18, I studied for about 18 months because right around the same time I found out that my daughter was sexually abused. So here's a sexually abused woman who has trauma. And I found out, you know, watching this algorithm over the years that once a woman turns about 30-ish, 32, 34, she's going to get something. So if she had childhood trauma, she was sexually abused, which seems to be 64% of the country. As far as women goes, when they hit 33, 32, 34, they get a chronic illness. They cannot beat it. Their body just breaks down. So I've seen this over and over and over again. Here's my sweet daughter who now has this problem, and I want to fix it. I have got to fix this problem. So I knew a little bit about hypnosis. I had done hypnosis. I had hypnosis done on me. I kind of believed in the magic of hypnosis. So I'm like, well, this is spirit medicine. So that's hypnosis. So let's start curing, removing trauma through hypnosis. So I started doing that. It just took too long. So then I'm like, you know, Steve Bandler, what's a faster way through hypnosis? Now it's coming into NLP. What is NLP? Okay, that's fine, but that's voodoo nonsense. So I connected NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, to EFT, which is an emotional freeing technique. So as people are tapping on themselves, they have their earbuds, and I just literally reverse the trauma. While they're tapping, I'm speaking to them, very hypnotic-like, and then just talking them out of the trauma, because I found that trauma is a belief system. So yes, something happened to you. That's physical. That's true. You're right to feel the way you do. But everything you feel about that trauma that happened when you were 9 years old, everything about that is a belief system. That's 100% a belief system. And all belief systems may or may not be true. But the problem is your belief system may or may not be true, like all belief systems, but your belief system is not helping you sleep at night. Your belief system is not, keeps you in a fight or flight pattern. And then when you eat food or drugs or anything, it's being converted into sugar to fight or flight. So that's why you're not healing. Your apple that you're eating, your juicing, your organic diet isn't working for you. Your prescribed medicine isn't working. Nothing's working for you because once you put it in your mouth, your body converts that immediately into fuel to fight or flight. So no healing for you. So I found all these patterns and I said, well, you know, what's going to get people out of here? That's NLP connected to EFT, get them in like delta or beta, lower their, you know, get them in a nice little zone down there, and then then change their belief system on this whole entire thing and literally just pull the sock inside out that this isn't that bad. It's really not, you know, yes, it happened, but I don't think about it anymore. It's like spilling, you know, ketchup on my dress when I was 9 years old. It's, you know, I don't hold that against me now. Why would I hold something against me that happened 9 years old? And you just slowly but surely pull it out. And then when you ask the person, like, okay, let's scale of 1 to 10. Remember that guy who broke into the house, jumped on top of you, you know, did this to your brother and then tied you. Well, scale of 1 to 10, where it was that? And they're like, oh, I don't really think about that. I don't. So it's gone. I mean, it's like, it's gone. So when it's gone, their body's not under a fight or flight pattern anymore. And then when the good doctor gives them the stuff works. So they heal. They finally can heal because they are getting the vitamins and minerals. Before they weren't getting vitamins and minerals, they were getting glucose to get the hell out of Dodge, you know, basically. So my herbal work showed a pattern of trauma. I spent about 18 months studying how to remove trauma. I came up with stealing like 5 different modalities, combining them as one. Bruce Lee gave me that concept. You know, I was watching a documentary of Bruce Lee and I'm like, oh, so that's what I should be doing. I should be taking, you know, like these 6 things work, but not every time. So I'm like, if I put them all together, they would work every time. And they trip as they work every time. I removed every trauma I've ever seen every time. It's like in 22 minutes, any trauma's gone. And it doesn't come back because what I found was the EFT part, you know, hardwires it into your subconscious mind. And then when we stop tapping, your subconscious floods your conscious mind with your new belief system. So that's the trick. I put in your subconscious mind this new belief system. When you stop tapping, it sends it to your conscious mind, and then you walk the earth thinking and talking and walking like this. And that's a freeing, loving, you know, that's a love and light vibrational frequency. And you're not sick anymore, basically. And new things work now, new treatments work. So that's the big story behind that. I hope that wasn't too long, but it's kind of crazy how it all just organically evolved. It took about 2 years to figure it all out, to be honest with you.
Wow, quite fascinating for sure.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean it's amazing. And for people dealing with, you know, these chronic Lyme and chronic infections and these kind of things, yeah, you know, that looking at the trauma, because you're always kind of going for, you know, which herb should kill this or which herb should do that, or, you know, I gotta clean my liver, I gotta clean, you know, like you're saying, a lot of external things. And right. Then the key is the ones that really are sick and hard to move forward, there's always some kind of emotional factor, some trauma that you get to look at. And that's why using these type of tools becomes so powerful. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
Well, anything else that you would like to say to the audience out there that you feel is really important? You know, we got people like yourself struggling with Lyme, and they've gone through a long journey and they're looking for a ray of sunshine and you know, anything else that you feel is important.
And thank you, you know, for having me again. And that's a great question. Like what resonates or comes to the top of my head is that, you know, don't chase symptoms. You know, there's that, and I'm sure as a doctor, you know, that like there's people, you know, they're dumping babies in the stream. Do you know that when they're dumping babies in the stream are coming, like you have to go up the stream and find out who's dumping babies in the stream. Because if you don't, then you will forever be downstream, you know, chasing the symptoms. So for me, what drives me, you know, like really irks me is that when people are just efforting like a fly, you know, tapping a window, it's like, yes, that fly is efforting, but he's never going to get out of that window. He's efforting, but it's never going to work for him. So the, you know, it's like, don't get caught up in efforting. You have to go upstream and find out like what is creating this symptom. You know, like some, you have a symptom, you feel a certain way, something is making that symptom. Don't try to fix the symptom, you know, try to like quiet the mind or go get some help to find out what's causing that symptom and then work on that. Take vitamins and minerals and herbs, prayer, whatever, like that thing up there, you know, that's my biggest thing. And then sometimes people get into protocols and they'll give a protocol, you know, a year or 9 months. It's like, no, you know, the right path feels right. You know, you're on the right path pretty much, you know, the right path feels right. That's how you know you're on the right path. It feels right. And, you know, back when, early in my life, people would do the wrong protocol for like 2 years, you know, and it's like, well, what are you, when are you waiting for that to kick in the body? You know, the cells work real fast, you know, like real, they work faster than that. So my 10 cents is like, don't follow a protocol for too long. You know, like I would always joke and say, people are like, I gave it 8, 9 months. I'm like, I gave it 8, 9 PM. You know, like that's as fast as I would give something, 8 or 9 PM. You know, if it didn't work by 8 or 9 p.m., I would just move on to the next day. Like it was a joke, but it was very true because, you know, it's like people are on antidepressants for 15 years and there's that joke like, well, when do you think they're going to kick in? You know, it's like, obviously that's not working, you know, that kind of thing. So that's my 10 cents. Don't stay on a protocol for too long if you're not seeing positive effects, and don't chase symptoms, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Patrick. This was awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your story and for everything that you're doing for, you know, all the different communities and helping them heal traumas.
Yes, amen. Absolutely. I love to hear people that give back and do stuff like this after going through a Lyme journey or any journey for that matter. So we appreciate you. They appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. God bless, guys. Appreciate it.
God bless. Thanks. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.